Good morning, church. Let me get my staff down here first. You know, one thing I enjoy is that being our church is a family church. You know, I love hearing children's singing, making sounds, running around. I love this, you know. So if you never get used to it, please get used to it, because this is how it's going to be. We're not going to change anything differently here. From the beginning, we felt like this is what God has given us. We are all from different families that coming together and worship God. You know, there's something amazing. There's always a thought about, hey, why not we have a separate service, let the children go to their own classes and then have their own worship, you know, rather than joining with the adults. You know, I tell sometimes, whose request is this? If the parent, I think the parents need to repent. Because the whole week, you are separated from your children. I mean, if they are going to school, most of the time you are away from the time. The only time you have your time together is during church sometime. And I say the best place is for your children to see you worship God. Amen? I'm not saying our youth pastor or our Sunday school teachers are not good. Their worship. No, we don't have worship on the other side. The thing is that I love to see them worshiping together with us. Amen? Because there's been now in the culture where we give so much attention, so much progress for the children until they are 18. When they come to the adult service, they say, wow, so boring are y'all. How come? Not so much fun. You know, that's a question always will have, like, why so boring, you know? And sometimes I know the parents will ask, like, how was your Sunday school today? That's a wrong question to ask. You ask, what did you learn about Jesus today, all right? Because if you say, was it fun? It's very difficult with the activities they have the whole week and comparing to our Sunday morning service to say, is this fun? They say, no, it's not fun. It's boring, you know, like, that's your favorite word, and then boring, you know. Anyway, that's just for the side. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody, but many of you who are here worshiping with us, I just want to let you know that we are family church. Amen? All right, just before I start my preaching, you know, some of you have seen my poster that I designed. Wow, so I need to make some disclaimers. I won't be able to guarantee my preaching going to be as good as my look here, you know. I know, you say, this guy got too much pride, he need to repent, you know. But anyway, so I say, I got a lot of feedback. I say, wow, Pastor, you're so cool, you know. I say, wow, man, how come? I thought you're just supposed to read, you know, what's my title, don't look at me, you know. But what to do, my big face is bigger than my words, so everybody look at my face. So I say, okay. Anyway, as we are embarking into 2020, wow, it's already 12 days, right? We are in the new year. Some of you feel like you just woke up. It's like, what's the difference? It's just another new year. And like, dear brothers and sisters, we need to look things differently this year. Amen? Don't look, wake up today. It's like, this same boss, same wife, same husband, same children, same job. Like, what is that to look forward for, you know? But you know, there's something about, that's what I'm going to talk about today. You need to change the way you think. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you need to change the way you think. If something good, keep it up, all right? But if it's know that it's not so good, then it's time to rethink the way we think, all right? So we are embarking this year 2020. Do you still remember our senior pastor mentioned last week, what is our theme this year? Did you all get this stuff like when you came in? This is not for wrapping your peanuts. Okay. This is for you to, you know, that thing is big there. The theme this year is be transformed. Say it again. Be transformed. That is our goal this year. But this not should be just this year. Then like next year is like do something else. No, this should be our life goal. Amen. That we are trumping. The reason I say this is because it's not a cool term that we came up with as a church. Like, oh, no, we didn't even spend so much time. We just look into the Word of God and say that this is what the Lord is requiring of us. Why not we just do what He says? Amen? And being transformed, it means that it's not like something we are coming up, it's an amazing idea. No, it's like, how is that a biblical concept that God wants us to follow? All right. So let's look at the scripture this morning. I'm going to read from the, let's read together from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. All right. I have verse 1 and 2 here. I know it's a bit small out there, but if you can read, let's, at a count of three, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, to be transformed, it's your goal. It's your idea for us as a humankind. And not just because you're a humankind. This is what you designed for your children, your beloved sons and daughters. And God, today we want to learn, God, because there's so many things out there, information that is just bombarding us daily. And God, that we need to protect our mind, our hearts, so that we can know your perfect will, God. We can know the directions that you have for us. Because you say that, Lord, you have made us in our mom's womb. You have known us there. And because you made us, you have a plan for us, oh God. None of us are accident here. You chose us. You made us. You design us. We are special. And you are calling each of us, say, my son, you are special. My daughter, you are special. I have made you. And I have a plans for you. And Lord, we want to learn more of that today, God. Teach us, open our hearts and our mind today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, the purpose I like to share this passage is that God wants us to be transformed people with renewed minds. Living to honor and obey Him through renewing of our mind in Christ, we will have the power to manage our mind. Pastor Dave, do you have that slide? Happy birthday anyway. Yesterday was Pastor Dave's birthday. So we say happy birthday to Pastor Dave. Amen. Now he's so, by the way. If you don't learn to manage your mind, nobody can. No one. God cannot manage your mind. That's probably a big breakthrough for some of you. The devil cannot manage your mind. Only you can manage your mind. That's why when God made Adam and Eve, He didn't make a robot. Everybody knows this, right? He gave them a free choice. And each of us, we have that free choice to make. When you make good choices, it's going to be good. When you make bad choices, that's going to be some bad consequences. Some of you say that only if I get caught. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not the way we do things. Because the Lord's desire for us is that we are not conformed to the pattern of this world. We live in this world. We make money in this world. We have livelihood in this world. But we don't behave in the way that we behave, just like the world does things. I wanted to begin to analyze some situations or some problems that you are going through or you've gone through in your life and begin to identify, is that a common denominator that is causing always the same, that you're coming back to the same problem? Has there been any repercussion of different situation in your life, but most of all, boiling down to the same issues? Church, are you looking at me as if like, wow, nothing is going on in your life. Everything is perfect, right? Okay, I'm talking to a few imperfect people. Just one. Anybody? Okay, two, three. The others are, okay, now more people. Okay. All right. It's a Pentecostal church. It's okay for you to say amen. All right. Okay. Say amen. Amen. All right. I need some encouragement too. Just begin to, if you're a person who are easily hurt, especially someone you love so much, someone you respected, someone you look up to, and the same thing keep happening to you again and again, you get hurt from the same person, and you go back to that same hole, same hiding place, the devil just know how to keep you there in that hole and not to, for you to come out to face the consequences or even face the potentials you have in your life. Today I felt like the God want you to revisit some of these places that you are easily getting hurt, getting offended, so that you don't have the repercussion of your dramas or episode in your life that where you go back to always to the same hole. The reason because every time you go back to that place, it's going to cost you. Not financially, but it costs you emotionally. How many have gone through emotionally tired brain? No, you have you gone through like you are just so tired. You cannot think anymore. And even you don't want to think, your brain just thinking for you. And sometimes you think that, how can I just stop this? Because life just have stuff that it's going to keep coming back again and again. You know, when my mom became a Christian, I mean, I've told this story before. My mom have gone through a lot in her life, especially a verbal and physical abuse from my dad and her, among her sibling, among my dad's sibling. They beat her up. They curse her. They have said a lot of things. This is something amazing that how I'm being even alive here today. Because the day that my mom was pregnant with me, all my aunties gathered together. Because they hated the day my mom got married to my dad. You know, it was like, if you've seen Hindustan movie, come and talk to me. I tell you some more great stories about my mom. You know, you can write, you know, you can take a movie out of that, you know. And that's why it was the day, because they had another woman for my dad to get married. But suddenly my dad fell in love with my mom. Woo, again, you know. And then the next thing was history, you know, when she brought my mom home to his home. And that's how it was. They live in a community with the brothers. None of them liked my mom. Because they had another woman that my dad should get married. So what they do, they're trying to do everything they could to beat her up, to abuse her, give her a job, do all kind of things so that she will leave my dad. But nothing was happening. My dad already had my mom gave birth to my older brother. And then after that, when I was pregnant, they all got together. They accused of my... When my mom... Too excited, right? So when my mom was pregnant with me in her tummy, in her womb, and what happened was that her in-laws all got together, not her mother-in-law. The mother-in-law was perfect. Like she always, this is the first time I heard my mom, you know, a wife who would speak about highly about her mother-in-law. My mom was like, she loved her mother-in-law. But all the other in-laws, they were like outlaws. You know, they were doing stuff, everything to get my mother into trouble. And this one time, they accused of my mom stealing a jewelry. And they say, my mom is hiding somewhere. She's not telling the truth. They took her, it was like three floors house. They drag her, pulling her hair down they have this open area. And then my mom began to tell these stories. And then they say that they began to beat her up. And my dad is in work. He's not back yet. And what they did, because they couldn't find the truth, they began to call one of my cousins. She got possessed, you know. And then, but they think she have like God coming into her, and then she can tell the future. But literally, she's demon possessed, you know. And what she's doing, that she began to put a curse on my mom. They say like, this child of you will die together with you. And I was in that tummy. And my mom always would tell me that, and this is something was happening. On the day that my mom gave birth, my mom said, I was the fastest baby came out of her between all my siblings. She said, this was the quickest delivery I had, and I was the chubbiest one. I know I still have some chubbiness, you know, not so much. I lost some fats, you know. You send me 2 weeks to Malaysia, I can gain that, you know. So I said, I was the most chubbiest one, you know. But the sad thing happened on the same day when I was born. my aunt, who was pregnant at the same time that she was there cursing my mom, her baby came out blue. So nobody came and told my mom, because they both went into a labor at the same time. And from that day on, something, they had like a fear of God in their, my mom didn't believe in Jesus at that. She know Jesus somewhere out there, you know, but she never really thought like, you know, this is my God, because she had a few other gods, you know. But the thing is that something happened on that day. The Lord was showing the rest of them that I'm protecting. And I look back, I say that God has protected even me from the childhood. I thank God for that. So I never take granted of what He has done. But life I've gone through where my mom not only has faced those kind of physical abuse, but verbal abuse. My dad always, like growing up, I mean, I just see her like, he's cursing my mom. It's like, oh, you're so sick. You're going to die. You're going to die soon. Like, you know, which husband, like, in their right mind will curse your wife, like, when you're sick, like, oh, you don't listen, you're going to die. Like, but he was serious. He will keep verbally abusing her. But now she came to Christ. You know, she became a Christian. There's something need to change. Because she take everything seriously. So she go through depression really bad. Like growing up, you know, she have gone through depression. And I mean, how in the world you will not go through when your siblings all, I mean, like your in-laws are against you. And your husband is not for you. The only thing she had, she was looking forward. She stayed in the marriage because of his children. Because of her. She always look at it and say that, you know, I had all the, she's a very good businesswoman. She was, at one point, she was earning more than my dad. But something about after she became a Christian, she said that, you know what, no matter whether he's perfect or not, I will still honor this man. She will not allow me to say anything against my dad. I said, like, why are you saying this? Like, he beat you up. Like, what's wrong with you, male lady or woman? I want to be like Jesus, like, woman, what's wrong with you? But she will not. But the only thing is that whatever my dad say, she will take that, meditate that, and then she became like so sad and all that. And she's in the juggling position now because she's a Christian. She cannot curse my dad. She cannot do like before she was a Christian, go around my neighborhood, because there's a lot of neighbors come to my and talked about her husband, her marriage. She cannot do that. She feel like this is not right. I cannot do this. And God began to change her mind so that now she can begin to pray for her unsaved husband. And began to pray that how he needs so much Jesus in his life so that he can change. So rather than she just praying, God, change my husband and wait patiently, she was also praying, God, change my heart. Change me. Because that's what God will do sometimes. Isn't that interesting? And let me put this statement very clear to you from the beginning. God is far more interested in changing the way we think than our circumstances. Can I hear amen? Or ouch. It's like, I didn't know that. Let's read that again. God is far more interested in you than just having your problems to go away. When problem comes, we just want to say, go away. I know, yes, nobody wants problem in their life. We don't want problem. It's not like we go and buy them and have it in our life. Sorrows, different sad circumstances, sickness. We just want all of them to disappear. For some of us, we think that's why we need God to just to keep us out of trouble and keep us out of problem. But let me tell you another truth. God is far more interested in you than just having your problems to go away. He is interested to see and hear what's happening inside of you. Are you hearing me? We just want that the problem just go. But God said, my daughter, my son, I'm looking into your heart. I want to work something with you. I can see what you are struggling with at the point of your life. And I want to help you. No transformation can take place in your life until your thought patterns begin to take the change. Amen? So clear here. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. I didn't say this, the Bible says this, right? And verse 2, he said, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, say then. Then, you will be able to test. Can you imagine? You'll be able to test, approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you want perfect God's will in your life? Two of you. How many of you really want God's perfect will in your life? Alright, 20%. How many of you really want God's perfect will in your life? Amen? Because when you are in His will, you know that you are not out of problem. He didn't still promise you that you're going to be free from problem. But He said that when you are in His will, sometimes that's where more problems happen because the enemy don't want to be in that place. And my belief is that until you are able to do verse 2, you cannot fulfill verse 1. You know, I used to hate whenever my dad tell my mom, it's like, oh, everything in your mind. Everything in your mind. Whatever she say or do. Or even we come and share with him and then he will just turn up and say, it's in your mind. I just hate it. I don't like to hear the word. And then when I became a Christian, I start reading the Bible and began to hear Paul saying the same thing. It's in your mind. I'm like, oh, okay. The Lord was showing something through my dad. Because it's all out there. And to live a sacrificial life. You know, what do you mean sacrificial life? Say, offer yourself, your body as a living sacrifice. That means the sacrifice, imagine you are throwing the, because they use lamb, right? You're throwing the lamb into the sacrifice and the lamb doesn't die. Meh, meh, but it's on the fire. It's not dying. It's just meh all the time. Like, die, die, sheep, die. Because the more you die, the more you won't feel yourself. Please die. But if you skip, man, after 1 hour, you think like, oh man, like, this is a miraculous goat or sheep. Actually, that's where we are. You are a living sacrifice. What do you mean? It means you are at the altar being sacrificed. But the thing is that you only get to live until you die. You get to gain until you die. And the best way to do that, get married. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody saying amen. Amen. Yeah, somebody is awake now. You know, just in Singapore, and then there was a soon-to-be married couple pick us up and then bring us to church. And then they say, oh, they just finished their counseling and then marriage counseling. And in November this year, they're going to get married. And I say, wow, great. I say, you know what? When really the fight happens, none of these things will come into the picture. Just remember that. Because you're angry and he's angry. None of you are going to think that, oh, what did the counselor say to me? You know, let's put things in order. As being an Asian, I don't know. We are like loud. I'm loud. You know, we don't think before we talk. We realize only later. Nobody say, you know, like, okay, cool down ourselves. You know. No, we fight things and then we know sometimes where it ends up. And I told them, if you're not ready, I say, getting married, it's about dying to yourself. I say, if you're not ready to die, don't get married. Don't go into a relationship. I'm not discouraging for those who are going to get married because I've been married before for 17 years. I enjoyed my marriage, you know. But what I'm saying is that many of us, sometimes we have my will and have his will. When you're coming together, it have to be his will. When you don't have Christ as the central of your marriage, these two worlds are going to keep fighting. And it's going to go on. And that's the institution God ordained first when he created Adam and Alex. No, Adam and Eve. What's wrong with you guys? There's no such thing as Adam and Alex there. And you are so much fighting for that. I mean, it's up to you, but that's not God's design. He's designed what, and he designed marriage. And even he designed sex to be part of what to be enjoyed inside a marriage. And that is very key in managing our mind. I know I'm just kind of like out of like talking. I'm like I say, those who are looking forward to get married, it's an amazing thing. And I'm not this guy. I will marry someday. Okay, so don't think that, you know, I'm a gay or something. No, I got two children. Hello, no, I have feelings. Okay, some of you think, oh really, Pastor? You like robot? You know, like no feeling. No, you pass by, you like nothing. You're not falling down. The only way to truly change your life is to change the way you think. Lasting change takes place when you place the kingdom mindset and Christ as the central of your life, your family, your career, and even your ministry. Amen? That needs to happen. And you need the Holy Spirit to be your coach. Coach of your mind so that you can manage your mind, your heart, to be fruitful. And why is it so important that I manage my mind? Are you ready to hear that? Just coming to my point now. That was just introduction. Don't worry, I still have time. I'm just quoting some of this. All this are taken from Rick Warren teaching on 50 Days of Transformation. Amazing teaching. And the first thing he said that, the first thing why you need to manage your mind, because my thoughts control my life. You can see that I didn't put up the answer there. You need to fill up, you know, so that you can keep your brain active. Get your pen next time. I manage my mind because my thoughts controls my life. Every single action always began as a thought. If you don't think, what will happen? You don't do it. If it is a good thought, it's going to be good. But when it's a bad thought, it's going to be bad. Proverbs 4:23 in today's English version says that, be careful how you think your life is shaped by your thoughts. Look at that place. He said, how it shaped. Your mind has the power to hold your life. Growing up, if someone have said to you, you are ugly, you are useless, you are good for nothing, or you doesn't even matter, you're just taking a space in this house. You are worthless. I don't know how many of you heard growing up, you are not a good husband, you're not a good wife, you're not worthy to be my spouse. On and on and on. If you have heard those things growing up, or even right now, listen carefully. If you have accepted that as a fact, whether it's right or wrong, it will shape your life. Because rather than choosing the Word of God to believe who you are in Christ, you begin to choose the words that people have spoken into your life. And some of you are still carrying those words in your life. And you've been a Christian for a long time. But you begin to think, Why am I in the still the same place? Some of you have the fear of man. What do you mean by fear of man? You, not man, like, you know, like maybe you have fear of authority. Some of you have problem with submission. Because you never seen your parents submitting to each other. And you're thinking like, why should I? If your husband been very abusive, you grow up to think that, I don't like this man, and I don't want to submit to any man. And when you come into a marriage, you begin to behave the same thing because you think the husband, like whatever good thing he could do, I'm not trying to talk for the husband, I'm talking about spouse. Like whatever the person can do everything to do good, you only begin to only focus. It's like, see, I tell you right, you are doing it again. They will forget everything, the good thing you have done, and then begin to focus only that one thing that they, and sometimes that really bugs you. And you're thinking like, oh, am I really that not good? Am I not that not worthy? Because why? You began to meditate what people have spoken into your life rather than what God has spoken. Your feelings don't shape your life, but your beliefs do. Amen? So it's important what you're believing. You see, it doesn't matter, or it doesn't even have to be true. If you believe, it's going to shape your life. Right? That's why Jesus said, if you believe, you can speak to the mountain. And how much faith he said you need? Faith as a mustard seed. Mustard seed is very tiny. Those who never cooked before, go to some kitchens or supermarket, look for some mustard seed or Google it now. It's a very tiny thing. You're like, it's a very small thing. Sometimes people say, oh, you need to have great faith. No, Jesus said, if you have a faith as this mustard seed, and that is equivalent for you to speak to a mountain and say, be thrown into the sea, it will be gone. I mean, I don't know, he's not literally saying that to a real situation. But he said that you have power when you even have little faith. That's why even when you came, he was walking on the water, right? And then like they were afraid. I mean, this was another incident. But there was another incident where Jesus was sleeping during the time of storm. So the disciples began to freak out. They're trying to call out to everything. They do what they can. I mean, some of them are fishermen. They still freak out, right? And then they came to Jesus like, he's sleeping. Like what? What? What's happening? It's like, hello? We're like, our boat is going down. Like, what's wrong with you, Jesus? Wake up. Do something. Before even he went and spoke to the storm, he told them, it's like, you have little faith. How long you want me to be with me? Like, you have seen me do this. I have given you the power. And he just turned. You know, in Greek, literally what he say? Shut up and sit down. He said, storm, be still, right? The literal translation, be quiet and sit down. We tell our husbands, we tell our wives, we tell our children. But sometimes we forget to tell to our problems. We are spiritual people. So God give you the power to speak to your spiritual circumstances. Amen? Sometimes we think that, oh, am I doing the right thing? No, you are doing the right thing. There's something happening in the spiritual realm that we probably cannot see. Everything is so clear. But later I'll show you the scripture, what's happening in the spiritual realm. But a lot of that has the power coming out of your mouth. If every day you wake up, you see the news, ayah, Sela, that's what's going to happen to you, Sela. It's a favorite word here. I don't know if I'm saying the right way. You just literally say, I'm going to die, or you die, I die. I don't know. Why you like the word to die so much? Jesus said, I have to come to give you life, and life more abundant. Many of us been taught that when you were a kid, things were not true about you. Maybe it has been spoken out of anger. Our parents didn't know how to do that. They didn't learn from their parents. So sometimes we need to give some grace. But what we have done is that we have taken that and make that as a motto of our life. No matter what you do or what God could say or someone to say even nice things to you, the next thing you think that, where are you going with this? Some people literally ask me like, oh, Pastor, what do you really need? I'm like, is that wrong to say something nice about you, brother? Why is that should be a motive when you're saying nice things? The only reason could be somebody have used you. Somebody have a mistrust against you. That's why everything good thing you say, you turn it into a negative things in your life. And sometimes after years and years, we still act on fake news. Fake information about your life. That's why it's so important if you get a chance. I mean, like, it's not you do religiously to read a scripture, to read the Bible. Because that's where you will know about who you are. I got a lot of my direction. I mean, I was a service engineer. That's what I was studied for. But a time came that God said that, you know, it's time now, I need you to work for me now for full time. In that sense that I'm not saying that being an engineer was not working for God. But he said that I want you in a fuller capacity. I need you to go somewhere else. And when I need to give up, I need to die to myself. Rather than thinking that, I know I had like, God, like how am I going to pay my loan? Like I know it's like crazy things, right? Like I need to pay bills. How am I going to tell my dad who's not a Christian that I'm going into missions? Like you know, he don't understand. But God was teaching me. He was teaching me that that my struggle, I have a fear of man. I always look up to leaders. And I find that in the early times, I always get hurt from them because I was looking for appreciation to gain encouragement just from them. I forgot that I need to look to God for all of this, and this is just the additional things. And sometimes we get bogged down when people don't say things to you, appreciate you. You know, we get discouraged. And we begin to think that we are not good enough. And I always had this fear. And there came a time that where I was really struggling just before I came and worked in our church here. About 6 years ago, there was 2 years period. I was doing ministry. I was waiting for my wife to finish her study. But there was not really a position I was holding in any ministry. I was just helping around. I was doing actually a lot of ministry at the time. But I felt like because I don't have a position, I don't feel like something wrong with me. And took me 2 years until I realized that I am satisfied. I am first to be His son. That God approved me as His beloved son. Job doesn't describe who you are. Your job is just your job. One day when we are done in this world, when you are gone, we are all going to stand before God the same. Whether you are working as an engineer, teacher, a domestic helpers, you are a housewife, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are with your bank account. God doesn't approve you or disapprove you by seeing all these things. The only thing He sees you is how the way you see yourself in the light of Christ being in you. And until I got that settled down, I said, God, I came into repentance. I said, God, please forgive me, because I began to speak to myself. I said, no, job doesn't define me. You define me, who I am. Doesn't matter. Because every time people ask like, oh, you don't have a job? Like, what? You're in Hong Kong? You don't have a job? And like, you're not busy? Something wrong with you. You are in the wrong place, part of the world. Because every Hong Kong person, or not Hong Kong person, everybody living in Hong Kong, most of the time you say, how are you? I'm busy. You just say, how are you? How are you? How are you? I don't ask your schedule. I see you as a human being. Doesn't mean that you're busy, you're fruitful. Say, ouch. Because the more you're busy, you think that everybody is going to honor you, but inside of you, you are struggling. Your brain is tired. Your life is not productive. You get irritated with everything, everyone, everything that moves. Even your dog gets kicked. And that's your employer's dog. Somebody said, oh, how did you know? I can access to some of your CCTVs. Be transformed by the way you think, because my thoughts controls my life. The second thing, I need to manage my mind, because my mind is a battleground for sin. All temptation happens in the mind. We think temptation is out there somewhere. It's out there trying to get us. You know, it's only going to get you for you to respond until there's something inside of you already brewing. Are you hearing me? If you have problem with a pornography, you know, and everything you've seen, you see that, you know, it's going to affect you, and then it's going to start watching pornography again, then you know that it is something already inside of you. Someone will just suddenly say that, oh, I just slept with that woman or with the guy. And he's a married guy or he's a married woman. It just happened. I'm like, hello? It just happened? Like, you don't have a will? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, you don't have a control of yourself? We give a lot of excuse to the other person. I'm not saying that what you've done in the past, you know, God is able to change that again. But why I'm saying is that you have the control. You've been given the power. It wouldn't tempt you until that desire, initial desire already in you, that already been into your mind. All temptation happen in your mind. Rick Warren said between these 2 years. All of you have 2 years? Yes, it's happening here. As a result, sin happens. When we talk about pride, lust, bitterness or anger or hatred or fear or resentment, even worry is a sin. Where are they all coming from? They are all in your... That's where the processing goes on. Doesn't matter what's around. Everything, you have been bombarded with all this information. And all temptation began to take hold when you began to add more water. Sometimes we say, kayo, is it? Kayo. Kayo is for good thing, but sometimes you know what we do? We kayo on the negative information that been spoken about you. We kayo that. It's like, we put more water, more fire into things that people have said about you, about your life, about your performance. And we began to harbor that, oh, it's like, I'm not good enough. I'm not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect mother. I'm not a perfect child. Like, I don't know if child struggles. It happens there. If you learn how to manage your mind, you will learn how to manage your life. This is what I will be keep repeating. If you know how to manage your mind, you will be able to manage your life. And that's where the greatest battles are always going on. Is up there in your mind. Because whatever gets your mind, gets you. Can you tell that to a neighbor? Whatever gets your mind, gets you. In Romans 7, 22 to 23, he said that, I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But, say but. There's always a big but. I mean, it's one small t. But, there's something else deep within me that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin within me. In my mind, I want to be God's servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. Can you begin to identify just by these two scriptures the amount of warfare that goes in your brain? The next slide, please, yeah. After the word but, before, yeah. There's a word war in your mind. There's a fight. There is slave and slave. Can you imagine? There's so much warfare going on in your brain. Who can identify with this passage today? 1%, 2%, 3%. There are four human beings who are real in this house. Anybody who can really say, God, this is what I'm really going through. Uh-huh. Me included. I have this struggle. I love to do God's will. But God, you know, the passage shows the need for us to overcome those thoughts. And I like about David. How many of you know King David in the Old Testament, right? King David. Everybody knows King David, right? But before he was enthroned to be a king, right after he just beat up, just took off whose head? Goliath's head, right? This is the big battle. Even the real army, trained army guys, couldn't even do the job. He just went in like, what? You talking to me? Yo! He just slammed him and then he just took off his head. And right after that time, what began to happen? Because everybody was hailing about David more than King Saul. He became jealous. And since that time on, he began to try to kill him every opportunity he gets. Can you imagine David being called to play a worship song for King Saul? Because he's like demon-possessed. He was okay, right? But up to that point. But what happened? When you begin to harbor hatreds, envy, jealousy in your life, you begin to invite the devil into your life. Hello, are you hearing me? And there's something very powerful about that. That's why you come into a place of worship before God, but there's something the devil hates, is worship. I don't know whether he was, I mean, you can debate with me all day, all year about whether he was a song leader in heaven or I doesn't care much about that. But something about me, when I begin to worship, something really helps me. That's why we don't say, worship time only, we pass the worship time, just go for the preaching. No, there's something very powerful when you come, and this is about you and God. When you're coming, surrendering before God, worshiping, something happened in your spirit. Throughout the week, when is the only time that you will feed your spirit? If you're so busy, you can't even spend a couple of minutes. I'm not trying to put you down, but I say that if the only thing that could help your spirit to grow up, to be strong, and you're not able to do that, who could ever help you? The only thing you could do is that now going around blaming everybody around you, the situation, circumstance, and then say, put it them. It's like, this is not my problem, but you're the one who's suffering. And God doesn't want you to see going through that day in and day out. Amen? He has a way out for you. Amen? He has a way out for you. And David is going through this struggle right now. He's running for his life. I'm going to read from Psalms 143. I'm going to read for you. The amazing Psalms where in this part, someone who's a giant slayer now, he's running for his life. He's in like a big depression because he have honored someone. Now the person he honored is trying to kill you. How many of you experienced that? You know, the person you honored, you respected, the boss that you worked for, now he's turning around and betraying you. How about your partners? How about your friends, close friends? Now they don't need you anymore. They find ways to kick you out. And that's what was happening to King David. He was paralyzed and he was in deep depression. Hear me, my prayer, O Lord. Give ears to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your work. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you. Like a thirsty land. Selah. You know what Selah means in Hebrew? Wait. Rest. Relax. Tell your neighbor, relax. But wake up. Relax. Selah. And then he went on. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I'll be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. David was battling in his mind, seems unable to pull himself out. And sometimes we are caught in the same place. We felt like, there's no way out, God. This is still bugging me again and again. And that's why when you get mentally tired at times, that's where there's a battle going on in your brain. Sometimes you are conscious of that, and sometimes you are just not conscious of that. Your brain does their stuff. Your brain or your mind is your greatest asset. That's why the devil wants to get your brain. He wants to get your mind. He might be even standing here. I mean, whether you are faithful to church or not, I think the devil, they roam around church. I mean, like, how can you have church split without the devil inside here? If there's a crack, you're going to buy 2 iPads for us. The reason being, whatever gets your attention gets you. Number 3, why I need to change my mind, because it is the key to my inner peace, joy, and happiness. Amen? See, an unmanaged mind leads to pressure, tension, conflict, and chaos. Managing your mind is the key to peace and confidence. An unmanaged mind leads to stress. When you don't manage your thoughts, you let it go all over the place. But a managed mind leads to strength and security. The scripture says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. The secret I will tell you, or I've told many of others before, have really helped them. You want to hear the secret? Your brain is not you. What? You were telling me I don't have a brain? That's why you perceived. I didn't say you don't have a brain. I say you have a brain, but your brain is not you. If everything the brain throws about you to yourself, you're not going to be you. Somehow you're still sane because you have learned how to manage your brain, right? But not everything your brain says, it's you. You need to know and learn how to filter certain things that's not you. But that doesn't mean that you don't take criticism to say that, you know, you don't take advice from people that you need to change. No, I'm not saying that. Don't go into a pride mode to say that, no, it's not me. And that's the time that you really need a renewed mind. Even Satan cannot control your mind, I mentioned before. Even God cannot control your mind. Satan can even just put the thoughts for you. Thoughts for you to out there, for you to take it and begin to meditate and begin to work on it. He can just throw on it. The moment you begin to buy to that thought, that's where he gets you. That's okay. Can you remember that Jesus said that, you know, I've got the keys of the kingdom. Now go and make disciples of all nation, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the. But he said that before that, he said, all the powers are in his hand, in Jesus' hand. And then he's telling us now, he said, you go now, I give you this authority. Each of you has authority in your own hands. And that's for you. And that's for helping others too. But you cannot deliver somebody's brain, but you can impact in their life because of this authority. That's why we pray over people who have sicknesses, diseases, troubled by demons. We pray over them and we see how God delivers them because God has given you this authority. Amen? And this was something very saddening. Just on Friday, I was watching the Hong Kong View TV news. And he said that depression cases in Hong Kong, this is what's staggering. And they said from 2009 to 2014, there was 2%. Can you imagine 2% of what? 7.5 million? That's a lot of number already. But he said just in 2019, the depression level cases have gone up to 11%. Wow, that's like nearly close to a million people going through depression. And that's something they say, out of that, like 300,000 cases linked to the current turmoil that's happening in Hong Kong. I was just right at the pastor's meeting last Wednesday at one of the hotels, and the managing director was sharing. I mean, he's a Christian brother. I mean, he was sharing that by March, if they don't going to get at least 70% occupants in their hotel, that's going to be people going to lose job. And that's not only his hotel. They say that they are in Tsim Sha Tsui, that the main street where it is. They say that all these hotels, all that, they're talking about that. They say, I'm not putting the fear in you, but they say that these thoughts, the people who could say things, and then you begin to meditate, oh, no. Oh, we're going to go downhill. I'm going to lose job. You know, like, and then you begin to meditate on that, forgetting that even the job that you have right now, whether you have it or not, God has given you that job. If once go, God knows how to provide for you. If you begin to think that your money that you have right now, everything is about you, you're the one who made it, then it's time for you to change your thought pattern. God will show you that you need to come to the place of depending on Him and Him alone. And there's something about listening to the Word of God. And when you begin to nourish your mind, you begin to be fruitful, God will begin to change things. I've seen people who came to the church, how God has prospered them. But for some, I see them, when they begin to experience that prosperity, they begin to stray away because they get busy, they take more jobs, they begin to do other things. They begin to think that I'm the one who doing all these things. And forgetting that from the beginning, God is the one who was lining you up. And right now, you're just taking off. I'm not saying that putting your things that, you know, so that you come to church, but we're coming to church for each other. Amen? That we be blessed as a family of God. But there's something about you growing in Him. So my thing is that there are some choices that you need to make today to manage your thoughts, to manage your thoughts. Don't be influenced by the world of negativity. God's given power in your life will speak. That's why I call spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 3 to 5, say, we are human. This is what I talked about. There's something happening in the spiritual realm. Sometimes we feel like we really don't understand. We are not in that world. We are in the real world here. Are you here? Tell your neighbor you're in the real world. Wake up. I know they are in a cloud 9 already, you know, so it's okay. I know. I'm long-winded. In this passage, say, we are human. Say, we are human. Tell your neighbor, you are human. And we do not wage war as humans do. This is talking to believers. If you're a believer, he said that we don't fight like other people fight. He said, we use God's mighty weapons, not the worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Can you imagine human reasoning? And to destroy every false argument. Do you know that? I mean, like I told you, I've been married in 17 years. There are times I came into my life in my marriage when arguments began to happen, I began to pray actually. Because I know there's something, certain things I know I'm wrong. Which my late wife will tell me if she's still around that I'm always the wrong, in wrong. I'm the bad guy, right? So the thing is that sometimes I know I'm in the right. And I know that devil have doing something because the argument is that there's no foundation in that. There's no founded truth in that. And I know I'm not saying that my late wife was possessed by demons. Sometimes that's how you feel like, is my spouse possessed right now? You need some deliverance, hello? You know, but the thing is that I began to pray in the spirit. I began to pray. And when I began to do that, I began to see something change. Something changed. And we will talk about that later. I said, and my late wife will tell me that, you know what? I didn't really mean that to tell that to you. And sometimes it happens to me. I will say something so nasty. I'm a very nasty guy. You can see from the picture, right? Like, you know, cool glass. What I do, you think, after my church hours. Anyway. But the thing is that's why the devil is able to get you if you're not careful. We fight against the human reasoning by praying in the spirit. He said, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And I like this, how David ended the same psalm in Psalm 143. Verse 10, he said that, teach me to do your will. He's going through struggles. He's going through a battle where somebody is trying to kill him. Every chance he's getting. And even David getting a chance, he will not lay a hand on King Saul. But he said that, I will still let God do his thing. Say, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Say, lead me in the land of uprighteousness. I know the rest of it. He said that, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. For whose sake? For whose sake? For his righteousness' sake. Sometimes ask yourself, why you really want to get out of the trouble? It's just you want to get out. Sometimes you know that trouble, you didn't cause it. But out of this scenario, the circumstances, how you do you like to see God comes through? How do you like to see God begin to take hold of the situation when you 100% let it go into the unknown. Sometimes I just laugh at my daughter. She'll come and knock at the door. I'm on my throne. And she's like, do you want to make a snowman? I'm like, I'm making something else here. Come on, let me go. She's so cute. Let the revenge to the Lord. Because why? That's why he said he prayed. David's prayer was that he wants to do God's will and not his own. Asking God to restructure our priority awakens our mind and stirs up our will. Amen? Let the revenge to the Lord. It's not our part. Don't take everything into your social media to justify yourself. The more you do that, the more people are going to look down on you. Don't go to their level. Are you hearing me? I get this all the time. But I say, don't go to their level. When you begin to do that, as I know some of you posting what I'm talking, you know, but it's okay. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if you're mad at the person or that, pray for the person. God knows what to do. Your online community cannot help you. They can say all the things, but you're the one who have to bear the consequences. They sometimes will be stirring more fire on you. It's like, no, you should get right, you know. Call the person, like, you know, they'll say all nasty stuff. Don't go there. You were not created for that. You were created for a higher level. Amen? And that's where you should be. You are a victor. You are not a victim. Like what Joel Austin said there. So in conclusion, Jesus said, John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift. How many of you want a gift? And Jesus, the sweetheart of heaven, the prince of heaven, kings and kingdom bow down to him. He said, I leave you a gift. And what is this gift? A peace of mind and heart. How many of you think we need that today? Three of you again. And the rest of you, you're living a perfect life. Go ahead with your perfect life and be human someday. I give you a gift. Peace of mind and heart. The peace I give you is a gift that world cannot give. You can stay on that pub. You can stay on that Instagram, your Facebook to do whatever you want. You can hold on to your friend who you think that he's the world to you or she's the world to you. But that person, that thing you are going after cannot give you the peace what Jesus only can give. Are you hearing me? So, don't be troubled or afraid. Because whenever you come to him, he said that, I have given you a gift and you have a choice. Do you want to eat the red pill or the blue pill? No, I'm just, you know, you always have a, it's not like Matrix. How many of you grown up watching Matrix? Only one guy. Man, we are from the ancient of days, I think, you know. You remember the pills? Yeah, man. Was it blue and, see, we remember. Matrix. Do you want to test God and approve what God's will for your life? His good, perfect will. And today I have an invitation for you that you can align your mind and your heart. Align your motives. Like what David said, that I want all this to go away so that I can do your will, God. I want to do your will. Can you show me that? Shall we rise to our feet right now as we look to God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you blessed by the word today? Not what I'm saying, but you are blessed. Amen? Very clear. Very clear that even while I'm speaking to you, I need to practice what I'm saying. We're going to sing this song to remind you something. The more you begin to manage your mind with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will know exactly what the devil is trying to do. His schemes. God will let you know before even he is trying to do to you. Hallelujah. Hide me in your presence, oh God. Let's pray right now. Lord, I begin to speak peace right now into the circumstances. I begin to speak peace into that mind right now. Let that mind be filled. Let that mind be fruitful right now. Hide me now.